On the second Sunday of Advent, we lean into the promise that in Christ we have a Prince of Peace. And what a promise that is. What a gift that is. We have these beautiful words from Isaiah 11, this picture of what will be. He says, "The wolf shall live with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp. And the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain. For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Don't you love that last statement? They will not hurt nor destroy on all my holy mountain. This morning we can bring before our Jesus those places where we see hurt, where we see destruction in our own families perhaps, in our own community, in our world. And we can lay those at his feet, and we can join the longing of the prophet Isaiah and of his people for years and years, saying, "Come quickly, O Prince of Peace. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Bring your peace to my heart. Bring your peace to our world." And the one who has come, comes, and is coming again. And we lean into him for peace this day. Would you pray with me? Oh, Lord Jesus, this picture, the lion and the lamb laying together, could it actually be? Could it be? We wonder and then we remember the Lamb of God come to earth to live among us, and one who so graciously, sacrificially loved the ones that the world told him should be his enemies. Those who believe differently and those who live differently and those who voted differently. This Lamb of God just set a table bigger and bigger still. The lion and the lamb, one in Jesus. Us and our enemies, one in you, O Jesus. The wars in our world that are happening between countries, that these people may see each other as brothers and sisters, one in you, O Jesus. In our own families where there is division, that you might make us one, O Jesus. In our own hearts where there is strife, where there is a lack of peace, that you might make our hearts one with your heart, O Jesus. Thank you that you have come to bring us peace. Thank you that you are here this day. And thank you that there will be a day on your holy mountain, O God, where there will be destruction and hurt no more. We long for that day. But could we, your people, live into that day even now as we are healing agents in this world? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you will open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 3. Your bulletin says Luke, but I changed my mind, and it's actually Matthew. Same story in both places, but I like Matthew better for today. And to participate this morning, you need a note card and you need a writing utensil. You should have got it on your way in. If you didn't, just slip up a hand, and we've got an usher ready to hook you up with the things you need. So note card, writing utensil. Got it? Awesome. Matthew 3, as we continue our Advent series on how we can prepare the way in our own hearts for Jesus to come and find his home among us. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locust and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him in all the region along the Jordan. and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Would you pray with me? And now, Father God, as we turn to your word, we do so seeking to hear from you, for you, O God, know how to lead us into life. We need your wisdom, we need your strength, we need your grace. We need your presence, Jesus, God, with us. And so as we turn our ears and our hearts to your word, would your spirit fill this room, helping us hear whatever it is you want us to hear. And so you might help us be whoever it is you've called us to be. And so you might help us do whatever it is, oh God, that you want us to do. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Advent, as you know, is the season of preparation. And preparation is a big deal if you want to be in the right places at the right times in life. Ben Franklin has the famous quote, "By failing to prepare, you're preparing to fail." Alexander Graham Bell, "Before anything else in life, preparation is the key to success." Preparation matters. And this that we are in is the season of preparation. Everywhere you look, everyone is preparing for something this month. Most folks are just mostly preparing for all the festivities that make up Christmas Day, right? Shopping list, menu planning, budgets, decorations, preparing for December 25th and all that it's going to entail. But folks who are seeking to walk with Jesus are preparing for something so much bigger than a morning of presents or a party with family or even a big meal. All that's included, but that's not the thing. Folks who are loving and walking with Jesus this season, they're in this time of preparing their hearts in a whole new way for the King of Kings, for the Lord of Lords to come among us and do something new in us, to come and to dwell in our presence in a deeper way, in a radical way, in a transforming way this Christmas like never before. And we do it year after year, week after week, month after month, always preparing our hearts for Jesus to come and do his own thing, his new thing in us. If you knew that a king was coming to little old Belfair, how would you prepare for that? Guy and I like to watch The Crown. Anybody in here watch The Crown besides us? Isn't it great? Season 5's out now. We're trying to do it slow because you have to wait like a year and a half once you're done for the next one. But we like to watch The Crown, and it follows really Queen Elizabeth, but the royal family through her reign. And as you watch The Crown, you see how all of these places around the world where the British Empire spread, how they all prepare when any member of the royal family is going to come and make a visit. And it is a big deal. From little villages in Africa to Australian cities, they do a big deal when royalty is coming to town. You see that all the riffraff is cleared out. The streets get swept. Red carpets are literally laid down. Security lines every corner. People are dressed in their Sunday best, and they line the streets, and they wave, and they bow, and they curtsy. They're on their best behavior. When it's time for a meal, the very best dishes are pulled out of the cabinets. The finest meals are prepared. It's this huge production if royalty comes to town. It's never a small thing. It's always a big thing, making way for kings, making way for queens. And the truth is, most of the kings of this world actually really like that kind of preparation. They like the fanfare. They like the attention. But there's this one king. There's this one king who has always called for a whole different kind of getting ready for his coming. There's this one king who could care less about red carpets and chinaware. There's one king who doesn't ever ask to hide the riffraff, but instead requests that they be placed front and center. There's this one king who says, "I don't care if you wear your Sunday best to greet me or not, because your outward appearance means nothing to me. There's this one king who's only ever after been after one thing, and that is the hearts of his people. There's one king whose coming was announced not by a secretary of state or by a president, but by a prophet living in the wilderness, dressed in really weird clothes, eating really strange food, declaring, "The Lord is coming. The king is on his way. Prepare the way. Make the path smooth for him to get exactly where he wants to go." And where is it that this king wants to go? We'd soon find out it's to us, to our hearts and to our homes. This coming king who called for a whole different kind of preparation. We know him. It is Jesus. This is Jesus, our king. He is the one who came 2,000 something years ago on a real day in history, the God of the universe, who came, who showed up into our world, into our lives. And he is the one who comes this day, this Christmas. And he is the one who is indeed coming again. The most important thing that any of us in this room can do any Christmas is prepare the way. Make straight the path for Jesus, our King, to get exactly where he wants to go. And that is into our lives, into our hearts like never before. That's the most important thing for any of us, any day, any Christmas. And sadly, as we know, that's usually the last thing that we think about. But our lack of attention does not negate its importance. There is no bigger thing than to make way for the coming King. We all know the truth. We can throw the best Christmas party, and we can miss Jesus, the star of Christmas, altogether. We can give the very best presents and be totally blind to the presence of our Jesus who is with us. We can fill our calendars with all of the Christmas events and come to December 26th weary and worn out, having missed even a moment to just sit and adore our Jesus. The most important thing that we are invited to this Christmas is to prepare the way in our hearts, in our homes, in our world for Jesus, our King, to come again and again and again. That's the most important thing. So how do we do it? How do we prepare the way? Last week, we talked about how do we wait well? How do we wait actively? How do we wait intentionally? Not just twiddling our thumbs, but how do we actively wait for Jesus, our King? This morning, how do we prepare the way? We've got another idea. John the Baptist, he's the one who speaks into our question. The one who was appointed by God to come right before Jesus was going to come to tell us the way to get ready for him. That was his one purpose in life. Get those people ready so they don't miss Jesus when he shows up. And it's just one thing that John the Baptist preaches, just one thing. His whole life is one sermon. You're like, hey, sounds like you. Pretty much. We all have one sermon. He had one sermon. We see it in Matthew 3, verse 2. He says to the people, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." And then verse 7 of that little clause, it ends in saying, the people came and were baptizing, confessing their sins, repenting. This is John the Baptist's life mission, to call the people to repent so they might make way for Jesus. Repentance. What is it? It's just that head-on recognition, naming, looking face-to-face, being honest about all those things in our lives that we know good and well keep Jesus from having his ultimate way with us. And I tell you, every one of us in here, me included, times 100, has something to turn back from, to turn away from, something that's keeping us from being 110% in for our Jesus to come and have his full way, his full home in us. Repentance is seeing those things, naming those things, laying those things at his feet so our King gets to go where he wants to go. Prepare the way, clear the obstacles, make the path for your King to find his way into your heart. The message of Christmas is that King Jesus moves into our neighborhoods. I love John 1 in the Message, and the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. God himself moved into our streets, into our homes, to set up his very own kingdom right where his people hang out, right where his people dwell. And this is our heart's desire, that this whole plan, that God might, that the world might know our God because he lives in us, that it might come to be. This is what we desire. It's what God's desires. But the problem is, we know as Jesus tries to make his way to us day after day after day, he's just got so many obstacles to have to navigate his way through just to get to our hearts, just to get to what's real. Prepare the way of the Lord. Clear the path. Clear the obstacles that keep him from you. Repent. For the kingdom of heaven is near. What are these obstacles? What are these places of repentance? We've got tons. We've got resentments that, if we're honest, we'd just rather hold on to them than make a way for Jesus to come and do something new. Because sometimes, if we're honest, it just feels good to stay mad at someone. We feel justified in that. It feels good. And yet the Jesus who cries to his Father from the cross, looking at those who are actively killing him, and says, "Father, forgive them." This Jesus has a hard time finding his way into hearts that are full of resentments. They just don't align. There's too much clashing. We got to let the resentments go if we want to make a way for the King who says, "Father, forgive them." We've got trust issues, right? Anybody got trust issues? Yeah, you're honest. Me too. Well, at the end of the day, we think we are, but we're not actually totally convinced that God is just totally good. And so we hold on to our things, stingy in sharing with others, because we're afraid it's up to us to take care of ourselves. Or we lay in bed at night worrying ourselves sick about things that we cannot control. Those midnight hours that could be spent just resting in the arms of Jesus instead are spent just racking our brains trying to figure out how to be kings of our own little domains. You see, Jesus has a hard time getting to our hearts when our hearts just won't trust him. We've got all these boulders saying, "Yeah, God, but, yeah, God, but, yeah, God, but." He's saying, "Just trust me. I'm good and I'm powerful and I'm wise and I've got this." So we can just lay down our worry and just clear the path of all those things that keep our hearts from trusting him. So Jesus might just come right in. We've got idols. Probably not a golden calf in your house. If you do, we'll talk about it. But we've got other kinds of idols, don't we? We've got so many things that we worship with just as much of our hearts as we worship our Jesus, if we're honest. Oh, our hearts, they get so divided. They get so divided between our people, people that we love, our families and our friends, and all their needs and all their demands. Do they get more say over our time and our passions than our Jesus? They can become an idol. We've got so many things that pull for our things, our material things, our toys, our comforts. We hold on to them, our entertainment. How many hours a week do we spend in mindless entertainment versus hanging out in the presence of our Jesus? It could be an idol. Our sports, don't even get me on that one. Our sports, oh my goodness, we can replace it with Jesus in a second. Our careers, how much time do we spend trying to achieve, 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 gain, 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 versus how much time we spend leaning into the heart of our Jesus? All of these things, they get these big old chunks of our heart, of our time, of our devotion. When Jesus is ready to move into our lives, he's got to find some little leftover corner to somehow fit into just right and not inconvenience any other thing too much. Oh, how often we just compromise for for something that is so much less worthy than our King finding his home in us. Our idols, oh, we got to repent from them. We've got agendas. Anybody have some agendas? I've got some agendas. My agenda was not snow on second Sunday of Advent. That was against my agenda. We've got agendas, and when Jesus doesn't match our agendas, it can be so hard to lay ours down so he can have his. Like those very first disciples, we want a king who will give us the very top seat sometimes, who will give us all the things we've asked for and hoped for to make us have this life we want where we're on top. What if our king says, die to yourself, sell all you have, get to the poor? No, that's not my agenda, Jesus. That's not. Prepare the way for the Lord. We want a Jesus who will back our politician of choice. And I tell you, my friends, there ain't one in our nation that he's 100% behind. I guarantee you. We want a Jesus who will choose our nation over all the other nations. We want a Jesus who wants for us the same retirement that we have dreamed for ourselves. And when this Jesus instead says the first shall be last, and the governments of the world will be on my shoulders, and whoever wants to gain his life will lose it, when he says that, sometimes we see our agendas and just hold on to them tighter still, and then there's just no path for Jesus to really navigate his way into the depths of our hearts when he is expected to negotiate with our agendas. Kings don't negotiate with the agendas of the townspeople. We surrender to him, trusting that he is good. We've got distractions. Oh my goodness, the distractions. I bet there's at least someone in here on their phone right now doing something. I'm not going to look out. I'm not even looking. I'm just guessing. I'm not calling anyone out. I'm just saying in general, it happens because it's 2022 and we've all got it. Might be on mine if it wasn't stuck right there. We've got distractions. And we're not intentionally trying to push Jesus to the margins of our lives. It just happens, doesn't it? We are a busy people. And we come home tired at night. And I know you guys, and I know me, and I know that most of us, our heart's desire, our intention, any given week really is to be with Jesus. Because we really do love him, don't we? We love him. But how often does another week fly by and then another week fly by and we haven't really even sat in his presence for maybe even 5 minutes? We didn't even see it coming. We love him. It's just so hard for our hearts to find that path where he can come to us when he is competing with this unhealthy pace of life that we are accustomed to. Like we said last week, when Jesus moves, and he's always moving, he tends to walk wherever he's going. Jesus tends to walk into our hearts. And the problem is, so often, while he's on his way walking towards us, we run right past him onto the next thing. We get home a little bit later, days later. I wonder why Jesus hasn't been in my life much this week. Because we've been running. And he is a walking Jesus. We've got distractions. We got to repent from our distractions. The King is coming. God's promised salvation is on the way. God himself moving into our world. Prepare the way, John the Baptist cries out. Make straight the path so Jesus doesn't have to move 1,000 boulders to get to you. Clear out everything that keeps your heart from being totally open to him this very day. Repent. Turn from anything that has pushed God to the side. Move everything out of your life that's made it too noisy to hear the voice of God when he whispers. Lay your life down, everything down. That's been keeping your heart from worshiping Jesus with every fiber of your being. This is all that John says. That's how we prepare the way. Just repent. Everything keeping you from him, just repent. You'll be ready. The King is coming. I don't know about you, but I don't want to miss him. We want to be prepared. When he's looking for a place to dwell, we want him to see that our hearts are ready. The welcome mat is out. We have been expecting him, and we have made room for him to come and for him to feel not like an inconvenience, but for him to feel at home with us. We're ready. Repent, for Jesus is near, John says. Repent, for his kingdom takes root right where his people live. Even in Belfair, Washington, his kingdom is here. Repent, so you don't spend your whole life doing everything, but actually seeing this king and knowing this king and loving this king and making your home with this king. Don't miss it. Repent, John says. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. The second Sunday of Advent, it's our only invitation, just one thing, just to repent. It's not a very fun sermon, but holy smokes, does it clear the way for the King of Kings to have his way among us. So it's a good one. He says, anytime you turn to me, confessing your sins, I am faithful and just to forgive you. Oh, what a beautiful promise, what a beautiful Savior. And that this practice of repentance that starts right here might continue each day between now and Christmas morning as we just keep making way for Jesus to come and find his home in us. It's a good thing. It's a good thing to prepare the way. So I'm going to pray for us. Lord Jesus, thank you that all you want's our hearts. And that we can trust you with every part of our hearts, the parts that are afraid and the parts that are selfish and the parts that are distracted and the parts that don't act like we want them to act. We say one thing but do another. We can trust you with all of that. Lay who we truly are at your feet and lean into the gift of your grace and your love. That's all you ask, is that we come home to you. And so as we lay down our sins and pick up your body and your blood shed for us, could we participate in the gift of Jesus, our King, come to this world to save us, to heal us, to find your home among us. Thank you for a chance to be at your table with you, Jesus, unhindered. Enjoying the gift of your grace. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.